You're listening to a Mash Those Buttons podcast, brought to you ad-free with the support of our patrons. Visit mashthosebuttons.com or stay tuned after the show for more details. Welcome to the Mash Those Buttons Show, where we cover the latest in games, community culture, and everything in between. This week, we're going to talk about the Cyberpunk 2077 launch week. I mean, I know they talked about the launch last week, but we're going to talk about it more because more stuff has happened. So we're going to talk about a possible League of Legends MMO and store employees buying up PS5 stock. Tisk. This is episode number 33. For the week of December 4th, 2020. My name is Jarrett, but you can call me Ja, and I am here with the games industry public defender, the scourge of Ironforge, I was going to call you Nicholas. I was going to use your whole government. Nick Zelenkevich. Sorry. I've been off for a week. Now I'm not hot anymore. Wow.
Yeah, you're rusty. This is not good. I'm not used to you being rusty.
I'm sorry. You did such a great job last week, too, especially with Kurabara's. Intro there.
Well, thank you. No, I did work hard on Kurabara's intro. I knew that was going to be a big selling point of the episode.
Oh yeah, that's why everybody listened to it to hear it, because that's the, you know, as soon as people hear the intro of the co-host, they just drop off.
Right. They're like, oh, that guy didn't. I don't care about this guy. I don't this Kurabara person. No, I'm out. No, but no, I made sure that if you were listening, you were like, oh, Jarrett's not there. I might check out. But oh, this Kurabara guy, he sounds astounding, and I have to stick around. Nick would not just hype up any random schlub. Not like that. No, no, I made sure I did my job.
Yeah, and a great job you guys did. How has your week been going, Nick?
It's been going well. I've been playing a lot of World of Warcraft Shadowlands, and I keep complaining that I haven't had enough time to play the game, that I'm not that far through the story. There's four zones. I just got through the third one. I'm ready to start the fourth. But the problem is when I log in, I spend like 30 to 60 minutes in an old zone trying to finish up stuff there, and then once I do those dailies, then I go to the actual gaming story. So it's like, technically, if I had just focused on the story, I'd be like done and caught up with everybody. So it's my own fault for then complaining about it. Like, I shouldn't really be complaining about it, but yeah, I'm enjoying it. It's going great. Yeah, I'm playing WoW, I'm playing Hearthstone. Everything's going well there. How are your 2 weeks in gaming been? What have you been doing?
Well, this week I've been playing Cyberpunk. Last week, actually, right before the launch, before Cyberpunk, I really wasn't playing anything because I told myself I was going to finish Watch Dogs 2 before Cyberpunk came out, because I knew once Cyberpunk came out, I wasn't going to be playing anything else. But yeah, I never got around to it. I was doing other stuff in preparation for me knowing I was going to play Cyberpunk 2077. And that is exactly what I've been doing, unlike a lot of people, obviously. wow. Just wow. I mean, we're gonna dig into it here. I know you guys talked about it last week, but there's been so much that's happened.
You know you're having a bad week when it's 2 weeks later and people are still saying it's your bad week.
Yeah. Yeah. So you know what? Before we dive into that, I just want to give a thanks to our first-time listeners. If you're first time checking us out, thank you very much for taking the time to listen. And give a thank you to our returning listeners. You know, welcome back. Thanks for checking us out again. If you're looking for Cora Barr, I am sorry to disappoint. I am sorry.
He'll be back someday.
With Cora. He'll be back. And I'd like to give a very special thanks to our supporters on Patreon and our Twitch subscribers. If you want to know when we go live on Twitch, just follow us at twitch.tv/mashthosebuttons. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/themashnetwork. And we'd love to have you join our Discord, which is mash.gg/discord. And you can join the rest of our community. Now, Cyberpunk. I've been having a great time.
Why is that? Why is your experience so different from the experience that I keep hearing about on websites like twitter.com?
Oh, this is because it's a PC experience. Now, I'm not going to sit here and dunk on my console brothers. I'm not going to do it. Because you know what? In 2015, a game came out. A Batman game. Arkham Knight. Might have heard of it. And this is your Arkham Knight console, guys. This is your Arkham Knight. Actually, to be perfectly honest with you, PC gamers are used to bad ports. Like, whenever a major game comes out, we even know certain developers or certain publishers are probably going to have a bad PC port. WB Games is probably going to have a bad PC port. So when Arkham Knight came out and it wasn't working on PC, not a huge surprise. Would still piss you off if you paid for it. But that's why when I bought Arkham Knight, I made sure I bought it on a PlayStation. I made sure I bought it on a console. Not giving an excuse, but you just know. And this is what it's like sometimes. And I'm sorry you have to go through this. I'm sorry that you guys are going through this because this was a major release. Everybody's looking forward to it. This was supposed to be, you know, the launch title for the new generation. And it's failed on multiple levels of that. And I'll get into that. Not saying the game's a failure. Please do not confuse that. Because I'm really enjoying the game. Once the game becomes reaches a playable state on consoles and becomes stable, I think everybody who has it will also enjoy it. You know, as long as you temper your expectations a little bit, because I will tell you that the marketing department lied to you. They most definitely did that. Nick is shaking his head. I just wanted to let everybody know that.
We've discussed it
on this show several times.
I'm shaking my head in agreement that the marketing department lied. And bear in mind, I am the games industry public defender. I am laying down my shield for this. There is no defense here. I'm standing aside and I'm just letting everybody right on through.
Yeah. So, but like, this is your Arkham Knight moment. I mean, I think we all shared the Fallout 76 moment, but let's be honest. Like, I don't think the Fallout 76 failure was as big because Fallout's an acquired taste. It's a big game. A lot of people do like Fallout, don't get me wrong, but I think everybody plays Fallout to try to check out Fallout, and then when they check it out, they're like, eh. You know, that's the thing about Fallout.
Fallout 76 was a gross mismanagement of expectations in that the game that people thought they were getting was not the game that Bethesda thought they were giving the people. And so there was a clash there. And once everybody kind of got onto the same page and Bethesda was like, okay, this is the game we're making and this is what you guys are going to get. People were like, oh, okay, now I understand. I can take it or leave it on your terms now. You know, the community's kind of settled down. The game's got its own little niche. Everything seems to be going along smoothly. It's still a meme. It's still a bit of a joke, but you know, everybody's moved on. This is a dereliction of duty. I mean, this is also a bit of a hype mismanagement. Don't get me wrong. Like, there are certain things that were promised in the game that don't quite match what was described. And this game was overhyped to holy hell, like just phenomenally. But by and large, like this isn't just that they underdelivered in many ways. They absolutely did not deliver at all.
Well, they delivered for me, but still, I mean,
not in every instance. I'm very specifically right, talking about consoles. Like, yes, you're able to judge the game on its terms as it was meant to be and engage them where they were. And you can sit there and say, okay, you know, they kind of promised a lot more freedom than the game provides, or, you know, they promised some features that really don't quite live up to the way it was hyped, which is a valid discussion you can have about any game. On the console side, like it's unplayable. And that's just, you know, if you were waiting 8 years and you got your PlayStation 4 all ready to go and you put this in and you know, you're doing a T-pose with your butt hanging out of the car. I'm sorry.
That also happens with the motorcycle, by the way, just letting you know. Like that. It's just like sometimes that, even on PC, like I said, PC has a fair share of problems. So sometimes, I forgot, I didn't bring this up on Night City Stories, which is, by the way, we do have a cyberpunk podcast me and Blaze and Bob are doing called Night City Stories, and we did talk about the bugs somewhat in our experience, but I forgot to mention that, like, so when I'm riding the motorcycle, sometimes, like, I'll be on the motorcycle and my naked body will be T-posing above me on the motorcycle, so just ass out, And yeah, so it's just, it's kind of funny. It like blinks in and it blinks out, and sometimes it stays and sometimes it goes away. And I'm just like, okay, you know, it's happened a couple of times where, you know, it's a funny bug. It's one of those, that's a funny bug. Some of the other bugs, not so funny.
Right.
I'm actually going to get into our continuity. I just do have to tell one more funny bug, because there is a bug right now where, you know, you can carry bodies in the game. So there's a bug right now where you can do a non-lethal takedown on somebody, but if you pick them up and you try to put them back down, it kills them, and like blood splatters everywhere. I just like to imagine that. I'm just like body slamming them to hell like when I'm doing that because of the animation. It's not funny on missions where you can't kill people though. So, but I do want to talk about this update that they put out on the 14th. At this point, everybody's probably read it, but for those who didn't, I'll just go over some of it at least. So it says, "Dear gamers, first of all, we would like to start by apologizing to you for not showing the game on base last-gen consoles before it premiered, and in consequence, not allowing you to make a more informed decision about your purchase. We should have paid more attention to making it play better on PlayStation 4 and Xbox One." I'm going to pause there for a second. No. You don't get a pass there, because this isn't just about the game not performing well or not looking well. It performs terribly. I've seen videos of people going in front, like just walking up to somebody, and they literally don't have a face. Like, they do not have a face. That's how bad the performance is. I've seen people's consoles drop down to like 10 frames per second. You know, that's insane. That is insane. So by the, I don't know if they realized what they just said in that statement, but that statement acknowledges that you knew. You're like that guy on that one man, that No Man's Sky picture when they were holding the disc, and you had that one person with that look on their face. You ever see that picture?
Yes,
Nick?
Yes.
Yeah. They had that one person sitting there like, like, yeah. So it was like, by you saying that, like, you knew that it was bad. Now, one thing I do want to say is that, and I'm not excusing the fact that they knew it, right? But I do believe they expected more people to have PS5 and Xbox Ones at this time, at this juncture. I think they were, and maybe that was a part of their plan, but no. Well, Nick's got his hands in the air.
Why? Why would you think that? Like, it's a console launch. Like, the PS5 is not going to surpass PS4 sales for a while. Like, yes, it's very popular and it's selling like hotcakes right now, but just the general install base, it's limited to what? Like 11 million anyway or whatever. Wasn't that the number that they were saying? Like, it was only going to be available or something like that. Like, why would you
hit 10 million? But yeah. If they sold 10, think about that though. If they sold 10 million PS5s, I don't know if they were expecting to sell 10 million copies of, right, Cyberpunk.
Well, even then,
in the first month or so. Right, but go ahead. I'm
but
sorry.
But even then, like, okay, you're dealing with like the install base at the lowest it's going to be.
Right, this is true.
Several people have their console in a box in a closet somewhere waiting for another month. Actually, not a month, like another week now, actually, too.
Yes.
I got some shopping to do. Never mind about that.
Yeah.
But so even then, it's like, you know, maybe you bought the game and, you know, with all the upgraded versions and stuff, and like, oh, the was it the smart play and stuff? You're like, oh, you know, I can buy this game. I might be getting it for Christmas. I don't know, but I can at least play it on my current gen. And then in a week, I can pop it into the new box and everything's going to look amazing. And at least, I guess, in that case, you've got a week to wait. And maybe you can talk to whoever's buying you the console. They'd be like, hey, can you give me my gift early? Because this is terrible. But like, why would, like, what numbers were you looking at from the last gen to make you think that, oh, this will be fine, that we can do this? Like, the expectation, especially for as long as this has been in development, I mean, it kind of goes hand in hand. Not only is the PS5 and Xbox Series X install base the smallest they will be at this point, they can only grow from here. The PS4 and the Xbox 360, they're...
Xbox One.
Xbox One. I can't even keep track of that. And I'm the damn Microsoft shell. Xbox One and the PS4, their bases have basically peaked. Like, yes, they're still going to sell some consoles going forward, but pretty much anybody buying a new console is not buying a PS4 or an Xbox, you know, one for the most part. There's going to be people outside, but for the most part, if you're buying a console, you're buying the next gen. And so if anything, prioritize those. Those are going to be the, you know, you've got time to improve the PS5 and the Series X version. You've got time because those people, they're early adopters anyway, and they know that, oh yeah, things might not, you know, go so smoothly. This may not be their first console launch that they're going through, and you know, stuff will work out. But if you're sitting there with a PS4 that you've had for what, 6 years, and you're like, oh, you know, like this thing's my old reliable, and I'm going to put this game in, and it's going to go awesomely. They got it completely backwards.
Well, they probably, in their planning, I would not be surprised they treated it like a regular console launch, right? In that, when the PS4 and the Xbox One came out, even if a game was on the PS3 and on the Xbox 360, the game that was coming out on the PS4 got the priority, right? So I can see that, like, you know, when one of the greatest examples I can think of is Need for Speed Most Wanted. Back when it was both on the Xbox and the Xbox 360, and I bought it on the Xbox. Only not playing the 360 version yet, but I bought it on the Xbox. I played it on the Xbox. I think I got like halfway through the game, and I was satisfied with it. But then when I played that shit on the 360, not only did it look better, the cops were smarter. Everything was better about it, and so it was clear that version of the game got the better.
Right.
Got the better treatment. Now, also keep this in mind. There is no PS5 version. There is no Xbox Series X version of this game. So I'm also trying to keep that in mind here as I'm saying this. But if they focus their testing on the PS4 and the Xbox One, Xbox Series X, sorry. Woo, it's getting me two now.
Yeah.
It's getting me two now. Actually, I told myself I'm just going to call the Series X from now on. But like, you know, if that's where they focus their testing, cause that's where they expect, you know, that'd be more in line with what you would do during a normal console launch. But I'm sorry, when this pandemic hit, that shit, they really should have been looking at, they really should have been looking at the PS4 and the Xbox One more seriously. Like most of the people who play this game will be playing it on these consoles, you know, cause even, I mean, the console install base, I'm pretty sure, it would dwarf the install base of the people who will buy Cyberpunk on the PC.
Yes.
You know, so it is really important that the bulk of your players are going to be playing it there. I mean, I could play it. And actually, people who are playing PC, I'm not really seeing, I even have people who are playing it on like 1070s and they can play it on like high. And it still works when they can play it on high at about 60 frames per second. But
now, you bring up an interesting point talking about the fact that there's only a single version available on both generations, that because of the stuff like the smart delivery and whatnot, that.
Well, this is backward compatibility.
Backward compatibility.
Not smart delivery. Well, go ahead.
But because of that. You know, like when you talk about Need for Speed, like developers clearly understood, like, okay, you know, there are limitations to PS3. We can't implement all the features and all the graphics the same way that we would on the PS4. So we need to massage them and tweak things so that it'll still work and function, not to the same degree as it will on the PS4. And you'll see a definite improvement when you switch over. But, there's the Xbox 360 and the Xbox One. But, we understand the hardware we're working with in both cases. There are more limitations on the older generation, as there should be. And so we'll tailor the game to make sure that it's still functional, still gives you an experience as close as possible to the experience you'll get on the other one, given the limitations in the hardware. Here, they can only put out one version. And so anything that they cut back on, be like, oh, okay. You know, if anything, this reminds me more of like Destiny. And how Destiny was hobbled on the PS4 because they had to restrict themselves to the PS3. Requirements. And right. And so, you know, ultimately Destiny 2 comes out, cuts off all the PS3 stuff, and they're finally able to give you a bigger vault and do a lot of stuff that they should have done all along, but because they were limited to, you know, they had to make sure the systems were compatible, they were limited in what they could do on the PS4 because they had to meet the PS3 requirements. And it seems here, rather than limit themselves to the PS4 and this Xbox One, they were just like, screw it. We're going for the PS5. We're going for the Series X. And if it doesn't, you know, if it doesn't, you know, fit on the old system, if it, the old system can't handle it, so be it. You should be getting a new system anyway.
Well, that's a very Apple mentality, right? Like, you know, if it doesn't work on the old stuff, it doesn't work on the old stuff. But sorry, that doesn't really work here.
Well, this ain't Apple. I mean,
this ain't Apple, right? you're not Apple, CD Projekt.
We keep saying that, like, oh, you know, we want to see consoles, you know, like phones where you're replacing them every 2 years. But people are not going to be paying $600 for a new console every 2 years. I mean, people are buying this $600 console and maybe 3 or 4 years for the PS5 Pro or whatever the next mid generation is.
Microsoft's got you covered, baby. Microsoft's got you covered.
Microsoft has you covered. Right. But that's mostly a software solution. I mean, you kind of, well, you do have the one plan where you can get the constant upgrades and whatnot, but, which is basically every what that's the Verizon new every two plan. Yeah. Again, going back to mobile phones, but yeah, this. The problem is that, like, I guess that may be the thing. Maybe that's a very Apple mentality, but these are not Apple phones. They're still, you know, not everybody has an Apple phone. I've got my Android phone. You know, I try to get a good 2 or 3 years out of it, milk it well beyond its expiration date, and then replace it. I know.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
your phone's until they're old as dirt, right?
Oh, yeah. The only reason I got the phone I have now is because my last one literally stopped ringing. It just wouldn't ring. It's just like, you missed a call. Like, it just would not ring.
That sounds like a feature to me.
Yeah. and actually, I just finished the 2-year payment on this one. I'm going to have it for a long time. It flies. It's actually really nice. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, I don't know if they knew what they were saying, but that's basically what they're telling us, that they knew that it was like this. And, oh, well, sorry, we should have showed it on consoles because so you can make informed decisions. Like, no, it's not just like that it looked bad, you know, it was going to look worse. It was that it was unplayable. So, but yeah, here, that was the first paragraph. The second paragraph. Second. We will fix bugs and crashes and improve the overall experience. The first round of updates has just been released, and the next is coming within the next 7 days. Expect more as we update frequently whenever new improvements are ready. After the holidays, we'll continue working. We'll release 2 large patches, starting with patch number 1 in January. This will be followed by patch number 2 in February. Together, these should fix the most prominent problems gamers are facing on last-gen consoles. We will be informing you about the contents of each patch ahead of the release. They won't make the game on last-gen look like it's running on a high-spec PC or next-gen console, but it will be closer to that than the experience now. Yeah, I mean, like, if you put faces on people, that's pretty sweet. You know, yeah, I'll call that a bit closer, but... I think, I mean, I feel bad for the employees, man.
Yes.
There's no way QA testers didn't have a list of bugs written up for these things.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're too prominent. They're too prominent. So I just feel bad for them because, like, they crunched all the way up until release. Now they're probably still going to be crunching while they try to fix these bugs, you know? And I mean, I think we have Ray on the show to talk about QA, like, early on with the Mashless Button show. And that shit is just, like, no joke. Like, it really isn't. There's no, it is. And now, like, it just makes it worse. They should have pushed the game back on consoles at least, because if they would have put the game out and the PC version had the bugs it did, the console gamers would have been like, oh man, whew, we dodged a bullet there. Not realizing that they dodged a missile. You know, because the problems on PC are mostly funny, to be honest with you. Like, I was talking to, I think it was Big Juicy Hog, and he sent me a message. I didn't get a chance to reply back yet. But he said something about, like, he was walking down a staircase, and I guess he meant, like, something happened with the game, and the game flung him from the staircase he was walking down into the ocean. You know, that's one hell of a misstep. You know, but yeah, so myself, like, I had an issue. I can't remember if I talked about this on Night City Stories or not, but I had a bug where I summoned my car. and it makes a beeping noise. It goes like beep beep, and like when the car is there. And so I hear it. I look left. I look right. I don't see it. I look left. I look right. I don't see it. I hit the button again. It doesn't make the noise again. I'm like, oh, what's going on? All of a sudden, the car spawns inside of another car that's right in front of me. And the other car flips into the air, flies over the intersection, lands on a cop. Cops are chasing me now.
Like, that's an awesome chaos simulator.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, so like the bugs we play on PC are funny, but like for it to be unplayable or like have like game stopping bugs and stuff like that. Oh, you can. There are ways for you to soft lock yourself. I was actually talking to Labosco from Push the Point, and he did not follow. So he kind of went out of script for the very first mission, and because he didn't do something in the order that the game was expecting him, he just couldn't progress. Now, this was funny to me. Maybe to somebody else, not so much. There's a part of the game in the prologue where you have to drop your weapons. Like, you can't take weapons with you. But then, not long after that, you find yourself in a like an on-rails car scene where you're supposed to shoot out of the window. Well, I didn't re-equip my weapons. And if you do that, basically your head just takes out the car and you have no guns. So, and you can't go into your inventory. You can't equip your weapons at that point. If you turn your head around, you just see your body with no arms and no head on it. Like sticking out the window. So I actually ended up having to load a save before I got to that point, load the weapons and stuff like that. I'm like, oh my God, this is so fucking funny. You know, but you know, that's why I think they should have just pushed the game back. They really should have, because it would have, people would have been like, oh, they keep pushing the game back, sigh, whatever. But putting it out in this state was really, really bad. And now, so we got the first patch last week or Monday, I think. And I think this Monday coming up, we'll probably have another set of patches. I don't know what it's for, but then it's going to take them. They are already expecting stuff in February. Like I hope the big patch is in January, but still, like, think about it. Like, January is 2 weeks away, you know,
January's people 2 weeks away, and it's on the other side of Christmas. So, I mean, it really sucks for really sucks for the developers, because they're going to be working through Christmas.
Well, there's that. I was thinking about that, but also the fact that this game is sitting in somebody's closet right now.
Oh,
this game is under a tree. And
God,
the look on the face of the kid that opens it up and just looks at his parent and like one single tear comes down his face. Like, why do you hate me? Why does Santa hate me?
what really sucks is that, you know, like, you know, you could go, you know, easier non-pandemic times. You just go to the mall and I don't want Cyberpunk. I'm just going to return this and I'll get whatever. That's the old story about, what is it? Everybody returned their Michael Jackson CDs because they wanted to get the Nirvana CD the 1 year. But this year it's like there's a pandemic. I don't know if your parents are necessarily going to give you a ride to the mall. Maybe, you know, the mall might have restricted hours if it's being open. So, you know, you might have to be like shipping it back to Amazon or something. You might take a little time to get that, you know, get that swap for a game that you do want there, but you can still do that.
You can. Yeah. But it's just rough all the way around. Like, and then that's just for the last gen stuff. We're not even talking about the bugs that we're facing on PC right now.
Well, one question I have about these bugs is, I mean, we saw Mass Effect Andromeda have bugs that obliterated a potential trilogy.
True. True.
Are these bugs on that level that if there was going to be a Cyberpunk 2078, that's not coming anymore?
No, they're not. And I can tell you why. Maybe. Mass Effect as a game is very, I think it was, you know, what EA wanted to do was just make another trilogy, right? Like Mass Effect, the first three games worked out great. Let's make another trilogy. It seems they're taking the Grand Theft approach with this. And they're putting out a single player title, and then they're going to have a multiplayer title behind it, a multiplayer companion behind it to generate more income. They're treating this as a service. You know, like basically like, you know, the multiplayer, the single player is a prologue to the multiplayer. The multiplayer kind of keeps you hooked until they're ready to make the next version. They're not going to go through all the trouble of creating this multiplayer and then just pump out another Cyberpunk. You know, what I imagine is that they're going to try to keep the game alive through the multiplayer like Grand Theft does. So that's why I don't think it's going to, I don't think that's going to be the case here. So I'll get into this last paragraph here. It says, finally, we would always like everyone who buys our games to be satisfied with their purchase. We would appreciate it if you give us a chance, but if you are not pleased with the game on your console and don't want to wait for updates, you can opt to refund your copy. For copies purchased digitally, please use the refund system of PSN or Xbox respectively. For box versions, please first try to get a refund at a store where you bought the game. Should this not be possible, please contact us at helpmerefund@cdprojectred.com and we'll do our best to help you. Starting from today, you can contact us for a week up until December 21st, 2020. Yeah, you're going to have to expend that, bud. that's not really going to work for most people. But the part where it says, you know, we appreciate if you give us a chance. They gave you a chance by buying the game.
Right.
Every time you buy a game, like you're giving the developer a chance. It is a creative endeavor, right? I'm not buying a car. I'm not buying a toaster or a stove. You know what I'm saying? I am buying a game. There's a chance that the game could work. There's a chance when any game you buy, there's a chance that the game will work 100% proper and it'd still be a bad game. So you're always taking a chance on a game when you purchase it. So no, that's not the type of chance you're going to get here. They expected a working product. And I mean, honestly, if I was somebody playing on console, I would definitely go for the refund. Like fuck a chance. You know what? I'll give it a chance when it's on sale. Cause that's where we are now. You know, right. I'll give it a chance when it's on sale. But no, yeah, it's no, not in this case. And I think the December 21st, 2020, you need to extend that because there's people, a lot of people going to be getting it on Christmas. And with this paragraph, they kind of put Sony and Microsoft on the spot. They were like, what? Like, you know, huh? You know, I thought that Sony's refund policy was like Steam's policy where you could play a game for about 2 hours with Steam and still refund it. I've had to do that one time. It was actually pretty easy. But yeah, no, Sony's policy is either you can't even download it. Like if you purchased it, you know, and you didn't download it, you can refund it on the digital store. If you played it, the only reason they refund it is if it's faulty, which it is. It is. So there was actually some trouble with that originally with Sony because people were contacting Sony and Sony just said, no, just wait for the patches, you know, just wait for the patches. The Xbox store is a little like, I think people have had more success on the Xbox store, but it's still not 100% certain whether or not you're going to get an update. And retail stores just kind of like, in many cases, if it's open, they'll just say no. I think when Cyberpunk made this announcement, I thought they had already worked out a couple of things with their retail chains, because for retailers, if a manufacturer says we are going to accept refunds on this, as long as the retailer doesn't have to take a hit on that or the hit is less, they'll do it. And like the manufacturer can provide some type of voucher or something like that for the retailer to use. And I don't think so, because a lot of people are just like, no, they're not accepting it.
I've done this, I think, with music cassettes back in the day. I would take one that I didn't like and I'd go and return it and say there was a problem with it. And then they'd just give me like an unopened version. Just like, oh, I just want to swap for a better copy. And then, right. And then I go to like another store and just be like, yeah, I just want to return this. Like it was a gift.
That's the old Walmart trick.
Pretty much.
Yep. Everybody knew that. I think that's why Walmart doesn't accept return. They used to accept returns without receipts.
Yeah.
Except return without the seats, and people burn that bridge.
Mm-hmm. No, the trick was to find what was on sale where. So you buy something on sale at one store, return it for full price at another store, buy something there that's on sale, go back to the other store and return that for something full price there. And you could take like, I did this once. I bought something for like $3, and at the end of the day, I had like a $20 gift.
Dude, I knew somebody who used that as a system. He was an older guy at the time. and he would buy a game from Best Buy. And he would, he'd buy a game from Best Buy. He'd play it like within a week and beat it or whatever. He'd come back to Best Buy. It was an employee too. And he'd come back to Best Buy. Hey, this game's like, I can't, like, it's messed up. I just need to exchange it. And they exchange it, you know? And, then he would go back. He'd take it to like the nearest Walmart and just return it and get his money back. He's like, yeah, man, it's easy. You should do it. And I was like, dude, I don't have an extra $50 to buy another cup to do this thing. Like, well, you would need to, like, yeah, like
you need $50. You need gas money for driving around. You need the time to do all this.
Exactly. Effort. I was like, I'm broke, man. Broke. I can't do this. I was like, I don't know, 16, 17 at the time.
These retail employees always acting badly.
Oh yeah. Well, we got a story about that. But so eventually, Sony did come around. You can get a refund on the PlayStation Store. But with that, I guess they were just getting hit by so many people that they, you know, they just said, okay, we can do refunds. But they're also pulling Cyberpunk from the digital store because I'm assuming they're just like, yo, like if that many people are saying that the game isn't working, and obviously it's also highly publicized, they're like, well, we'll just pull it from the store, you know? So I'll just read what they said. They said SIE strives to ensure, that's what they started calling themselves. Was that this year? Sony Interactive Entertainment. And Sony says SIE strives to ensure a high level of customer satisfaction. Therefore, will begin to offer a full refund for all gamers who have purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via the PlayStation Store. SIE will also be removing Cyberpunk 2077 from the PlayStation Store until further notice. Once we have confirmed that you purchased Cyberpunk 2077 via PlayStation Store, we will begin processing your refund. Please note that completion of the refund may vary based on your payment method and financial institution. Now, most people are happy with this. Some people are actually complaining about it because they're saying there's other games that were broken and Sony never offered a refund. So, like, well, what about the precedent? What does the precedent say? The precedent sets that if you release a broken fucking game, you can refund the shit. That's what the precedent says, you know, shit. So I mean, this is a good move. Sony, Microsoft also very happy since, you know, now, you know, they are the only console you can get Cyberpunk on. <You know? laughs> they'll be ahead of the game once all the patches come out. So
the kids that are really upset are the ones who are just going to get like a $50 gift card for Christmas. And then they're like, it's going to be like, here, go buy Cyberpunk for yourself on your PlayStation. And then now they can't.
Yeah. So one thing I said to Nick earlier is that this is partially, Sony, PlayStation and Microsoft's fault because, you know, there is a certification process. And I know that you want to say your counterpoint? Like, what you had a counterpoint to that.
No, I was going to say, we know there was a problem with the certification process because they had that delay even then. We should have been talking about this 3 weeks ago.
That is true.
And the delay that they had there was late enough that after it had already been certified, and then they delayed it, and that's the kind of thing that it happens when there's a major problem that pops up after the certification where the game won't run. And now, most likely, it seems that it was probably on one of the old consoles. Like, the game just flat out wouldn't run, and they had to get that taken care of. So what we're seeing is the results of them having fixed the prior bugs that were blocking certification.
Yeah.
It was worse before.
It was worse before, but the thing is, like, I don't, you know, this is me being an industry outsider, right? I know what the certification process is theoretically. We know what it's there for, but is there a human doing it? A human playing the game, walking up to people, not seeing faces, seeing a van, you know, sinking into a hard surface, you know, gameplay, you know, game stopping, you know, bugs that like it stops progression. Like, don't get me wrong, I know that they don't play the entire game, right? But a lot of these bugs happen in the very beginning of the game.
I almost want to say that what you're talking about isn't certification as much as it's like the Nintendo seal of quality back in the day.
That, need to bring it back.
Right. Like, certification in this case is literally like, is it functional? Like, they're not looking for those kind of bugs. And I think there's a soft expectation from Sony and Microsoft that if they are seeing bugs during that certification process, that's the kind of stuff that'll be fixed with a day zero patch. So they're not that concerned about, oh, there are no faces? Nobody's going to release a game with no faces. Obviously, that'll be fixed on launch day. We're not going to care. True. Does it crash the blue screen? Does it brick the console? As long as that's not happening, then, then we're fine. And, I think what we're seeing now is that there are calls for the certification process to be more rigorous and to make sure, like, no, you should be checking to make sure, like, the game actually functions like a game and, does things load at the proper distances and we're not getting faceless monstrosities running around.
Well, so you make a good point that, they do the certification process early enough where there's still a bunch of bugs in the game. There's probably thousands of bugs in the game when they do certification. So, I mean, you do have a good counterpoint, but you also brought up a good point that if they did have something like the Nintendo Seal of Quality, that would help with consumer confidence because consumer confidence is eroding.
Right. Well, that's why they made the Nintendo Seal of Quality.
Yes.
Because you'd buy games from Nintendo. They were just utter crap. I don't know if they were certified properly. Nintendo was like, we got to get this under control. So we're going to make sure we slap that gold seal. You look for that gold seal on all your games. And they worked wonderfully.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. So maybe Microsoft and Sony need to have their own seals and have the devs pay for them. Like, okay, if you want, you can just put the game out if you want, or you can have our approval seal here.
I just want to point out that there is no problem with Cyberpunk on the Nintendo Switch because it's not on there because it did not meet Nintendo Seal of Quality.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I mean, this week has just been, I do know a couple of people on console who are playing and okay, but I don't know anybody on a base console playing. I know somebody has a PS4 Pro and they're like, yeah, it's not the greatest, but it's good. I can still play it. And I know somebody with an Xbox like Series X or an S as well, and they can play it too. So he's like, yeah, I mean, from their expectation, they didn't expect it to be the greatest because it was on current gen consoles, right? So, but then again, I mean, certain precedents have been set, like Spider-Man for PS4 plays fucking awesome. it actually exceeded my expectations for playing Spider-Man on the PS4, well, just saying.
Well, you're talking the Miles Morales game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what, like an 8 to 10 hour game? Like, I think that...
It was a 20-hour game.
20-hour game. Like, Sony was going to make sure that that game looked great in both situations. They're not going to tout their backwards compatibility and then not have that game come out and suffer like this.
Because they were realistic about it. They were realistic. They knew that there a lot of people would still be playing it on the PS4, so...
Right. I think the one thing that I worry about is if we're going to see going forward a lot of third-party games that, promise like, oh, yeah, it'll run on the old gen and the new gen, and because it's, one game that's supposed to be able to transfer back and forth between the two, not two separate, games like you talked about earlier, if this is something other third-party developers might struggle with, that they're like, no, we have to choose. Do we want to, build for the old gen and it's just gonna look a little bit nicer? Do we want to build for the new gen and look it really nice? And then it's nothing. And it almost makes me wonder, like, I know we all love to think like, yeah, it'll be awesome. We can play a game on the new system and on the old system. And it's like, sometimes just cut it to the new system. There's a reason we jump up consoles every, half a decade.
Right. I think one of the problems here, because, you have to think about like PC developers and when people develop games on PC, like PC, you get a new car, like you get a new hardware generation every 2 years. You know what I'm saying? We have the 3000 series this year. 2 years ago, it was a 2000 series. And 2 years before that, it was a 1000 series. And, PC developers don't really have a problem moving from generation to generation, right? So, like I said, Cyberpunk on PC, they want you to have a 3000 series. It plays great on the 2000 series and even plays good, pretty good on the 1000 series. You can still play it on high, and part of the problem is that with consoles, like, you don't have a smooth transition between hardware, because let's be real, the Xbox One and the PS4 are like 2011 spec hardware. They're like 2011 spec hardware.
They're older than the game's announcement.
Yes, they are. And think about like somebody who's probably playing this on an Xbox Series, on an Xbox One X, right? They're probably doing okay. You know, they're probably not doing too bad. Just like someone on the PS4 is not doing too bad. But I wouldn't expect Doom Eternal to run on a graphics card that I bought in 2012. It was a $2,000 graphics card. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
But seriously though, if you built your PC, your gaming PC back in 2012, you're not using that now anymore. You've moved on to another system.
This is true.
Like, and you know, it's, I mean, yeah, that's ancient.
So I think Microsoft's going to do? I think Microsoft is going to pull Halo Infinite from the Xbox One. I think they're gonna pull it from the base Xbox One. They might set the minimum to the Xbox One X, maybe, just so they can avoid something like this. Because playing it on the Xbox One was going to be rough to begin with. I've heard rumblings that was part of the problem that they were having with the development of it. And I mean, Phil Spencer's may have already made that call. He's like, "Fuck the Xbox One. Fuck it." Like, you know, move it on.
The good news is that Sony won't have to delist Halo from the Sony store.
Yes, they won't have to delist Halo from the Sony store. Even though Microsoft would like to put Halo in the Sony store, I'll tell you that much. You know, it's like, we're all friends, man. It's just a platform, man. You know, but yeah. So I mean, that's part of the problem here. I think going forward, if they progress console generations more like PC hardware, I think going forward, this would be less of an issue. But I mean, technically speaking, on Microsoft's side, it is less of an issue if you bought a Xbox One X. Microsoft's biggest fault was not giving people a reason to buy an Xbox One X. In my opinion, that was like the biggest fault there. Go ahead.
That's where you blame CD Projekt Red, because if they just come out and said, look, you can't play this on anything other than an Xbox One X, now you're selling consoles.
Yeah. So that's the thing. So, but this is just a tough situation all around. I hope that we won't be talking about this for another week. You know, maybe once the patches drop in January and we'll see where we are. You know, I actually think I'll be done with my first playthrough. I'm already 40 hours into the game. And I mean, I'm thinking another 10, 20 hours, I'll be done with the playthrough maybe. And then I'll be going through another one, but we'll have to see about that. But once again, if you are playing on a base last gen console, my condolences. Well, let's move on. We'll touch on a couple other things and then we'll close up here. So I was very, very saddened to see that EA pulled a fast one. EA out of nowhere, you know, from the rafters, you know what I'm saying? Bought Codemasters. I think we talked about Take Two like a couple weeks ago bidding on Codemasters, and then one day I see EA is looking into buying Codemasters. And like the next day, it was like EA bought Codemasters. I'm like, fuck. Damn. Fuck. You're like, yeah, that was very, very disappointing to me. So just a little bit from this article from Kotaku. despite a nearly $1 million bid from Take-Two Interactive last month, Electronic Arts has announced an agreement to purchase English racing game developer Codemasters for $1.2 billion. The purchase will put popular racing series Dirt, Dirt Rally, Grid, F1, Project Cars, Burnout, and Need for Speed under one world-encompassing roof. So right off the bat, Grid is gone. F1 is gone. Dirt Rally is gone. I'm sorry. Like, I just don't see EA backing those games because they're so... Also, Dirt Rally and F1 are definitely niche, I would say. Grid, I like. I like Grid. The last Grid game was a little lacking. If EA was the type of publisher that just kind of minded their own fucking business and let their developers do their job, I think with the backing of EA, Grid could be really good. Because Grid 2 was great. I really liked Grid 2. But no, I don't see it. I think they're just going to make them like, oh, we're going to be pumping out Need for Speeds yearly again, boys. You know, this is the thing they're going to look at it like, at that, you know. And I just, I'm not really happy about that. I want to take two to buy them so bad, because there's only one racing game that they have. There's one racing property that I can think of that Take-Two has. And that's Midnight Club. You know? Buy Codemasters, make them Rockstar England or whatever, and have them pumping out Midnight Clubs, you know? I miss that game so much. But yeah, that was I was upset by it. I was like, oh my God, EA out of nowhere. Fuck. I was like, I had my head, like, you know, in Cyberpunk too much. Now look up for, like, you know, 1 second and boom, it's already happened. All right. So besides that depressing shit, there is a possible League of Legends MMO in the works. There was a tweet from Ghost Crawl. You want to talk about that a bit, Nick?
Yeah. Well, he's confirmed it as much as he can confirm it. Greg Street, former Blizzard developer, now working with Riot, he's tweeted out, "I have news. My recent job at Riot has been to help develop the League universe, which we're going to need because it is time. My new job is to kick off a big, some might say massive, game that many of you and many Rioters have been asking us to create. P.S. We're hiring." And in case the massive didn't give it away, somebody asked him later, like, "Is it an MMO?" And he was like, "It is an MMO." Like, of course, because people can't read between the lines. They need everything written in big, you know, 20-point font. But, yeah, so basically...
Say that with a little bit more disgust in your voice, Nick.
Because I thought it was freaking obvious. I didn't need him to come out and say it. And obviously, if, you know, he could have very easily said, "We're doing an MMO." But no, like, somebody had to be like, of course it is. Anyway, it's going to be a league, you know, like a league setting. Was it the World of Runeterra? Obviously, we have no information as far as what kind of characters you're going to create, what the story is going to be, anything like that, because they're just hiring. So they're at the very early development process with this, if they're hiring for this. So, 3 to 5 years, I'd say, probably before we'll see it, you know, anything significant. I don't think Riot has any kind of, they did that like big news dump back. That was like a year ago. That was like last October, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was last year.
Where they dropped a bunch of stuff. So
yeah, they like all their project names, Project F, Project. I can't remember what Valorant was called. Project what? I can't remember.
It was some letter.
It was some letter in the alphabet.
Yeah, but. So I mean, we'll get more on this at some point. Whenever Riot has something to actually announce, but I just find this interesting because, you know, he was, you know, this is one of those things where we see the prominent face of a game, you know, somebody out there, you know, representing the game to the community, and we attribute all of the success to that game to this one person. So during like the Cataclysm and Mr. Pandaria era of WoW, Ghostcrawler was sort of the face of the Blizzard developers. So we like to think, you know, oh, he was responsible for all that. And he was, you know, he was lead game designer on Warcraft, but he wasn't like, you know, the top guy necessarily. It'll be interesting to see, like, yes, he had a lot of input. He's not the sole reason why the game did as well as it did. But it'll still be interesting to see, like, what does an MMO helmed by him look like in the 2020s, like what's that going to come out? Because we went through, what was it? In the last decade, we went through, you know, every year, it's like, here's a new batch of WoW killers coming out. You know, what's the MMO market going to look like? And then like, WoW is the only one. Well, it's not the only one still going. I mean, Final Fantasy is giving it a good run for its money. ESO has found a nice niche. Star Wars has found a nice niche. I mean, there's still plenty of MMOs out there, but it's not, you know, but we don't see people chasing that recurring revenue anymore. Now they're all, you know, they're looking at the Fortnites and that kind of stuff.
That's because they were trying to chase that Warcraft money, which was an anomaly. It was an anomaly. It really was. And so go ahead.
I just want to say, and that's what's interesting, is we know that now, and we know that Riot's not stupid. Riot knows that now. You don't bring Greg Street in and then like overextend yourself and be like, oh, we're going to die. Like, no, they know what the market is. They're going to find a way to, and they've got money and they've got backing and they've got cred to fit in. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how they assert themselves and where they wind up. I could see them putting out a steady MMO that'll be successful, you know, not necessarily doing the same numbers that WoW does or Final Fantasy, but it'll be successful and it'll be out there and it'll be another alternative for people.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about this for me is like, you're fighting for players' time. That's why I believe in, like, I call it my rule of two. There really can only be two games in a space, right? You know, so for battle royales right now, in my opinion, it is Fortnite and Apex, right? I mean, people do play Warzone, don't get me wrong, but yeah, Fortnite and Apex. For MMOs, it is Warcraft and Final Fantasy. And not just because we have shows on the network for them, but that's, you know, based off of what I see, that's what I hear people talking about. That's what people see people talking about. I rarely run into people who play ESO. I do. So yeah. And in my opinion, like, the only reason Riot would do something like this is because they're trying to take somebody's spot. Like, first of all, I think you'll see how serious they are based on how it's released. If it's released free to play, I'm like, okay, they do know they're not going to, you know, get somebody to get some subscriptions on this. And a free to play MMO plays in a certain way, you know? So there's that. But, you know, are they trying to convert people who aren't playing MMOs into MMO players? Possibly. They might be trying to do that. Because other than that, you're trying to rip MMO players from their other games. Like, there's people who play League right now and play Warcraft or play Final Fantasy. And, you know, especially as players get older, you don't have a ton of time to play all these different MMOs because they're all time sinks. I don't even have time to play Destiny right now. I don't even want to play Destiny, perfectly honest with you. But if I wanted to play, I don't even really have time to do it. Like, you know, so... Yeah, like I'm curious to see what angle they're gonna try to take from this, because if they're trying to, you know, step into that you know, one or two, well, they're not gonna step into the number one spot. They're trying to step into that number two spot, maybe push Final Fantasy to the side. I just don't see that happening. Especially, you know, but you know, if they are just trying to get their, you know, toe in the pool, then sure, go ahead, you know.
One, you know, we had WildStar come out and then flame out after a few years, and that was made by some ex-Blizzard devs. And the problem there was it was made by people who worked on early WoW, and so it hewed a little too much to what the hardcore classic fantasy of WoW was without offering anything for the casual base. But by the time that Ghostcrawler was in charge of WoW, you know, the game had kind of already started to go towards a more casual feel in many ways. Two, I remember him coming out at one of the BlizzCons and saying that WoW is better with friends, and that the whole experience should be about you getting online and doing epic stuff with your friends. And I think if you have that as your central tenet to your MMO, that this is something we want to build where it's not about how much you grind. It's not about how hard the content is, that, you know, for the gear that you're going to get so you can stand around in the cities looking, you know, epic. It's, we want you in a dungeon, in a raid, in an instance, you know, with, you know, 5, 10, 15 people enjoying yourselves and laughing in Discord or, you know, whatever chat program. If that's what their focus is and everything kind of builds around that, I think they'll be successful. They'll find the niche, even if it's not necessarily as one or two, they'll find their place in the system. And then third, I think Blizzard looks at their games like an entire ecology, that it's like, as long as you're playing a Blizzard game, it doesn't matter if you're playing WoW, it doesn't matter if you're playing Overwatch or Hearthstone. Like, Blizzard just wants you in their system because they know, like, one game can't sustain you for all time. And so I think that's what, I mean, as we mentioned, they had what, like 10 projects they mentioned a year ago. And now this is another one that, you know, it's going to be, you're going to, you know, that you're going to be like a Riot fan, you know, fanboy or fangirl, that you're going to come in, oh, you know, I'm tired of playing League. Let me go over to Legends of Runeterra. Let me go over to, you know, whatever the one single player RPG they're supposed to be working on. Let me do Valorant, you know, stick within the ecosystem and move around. And I think as long as they have you captured in some way there, then they're happy. And if this is just another offering in their portfolio, so be it.
Well, before we move on, I just do want to correct you on the Blizzard ethos a little bit.
Uh-oh.
They don't just want you playing a Blizzard game. They want you spending money in a Blizzard game.
True.
So there's only certain Blizzard games that do that. So they want you playing Warcraft. They want you playing Hearthstone. You know, I mean, Overwatch is not, I can't imagine Overwatch is generating money from loot boxes. I just can't imagine that's happening too much. I don't know if people are still spending money in Heroes of the Storm. I don't even know how much longer Heroes of the Storm is going to be up.
It's doing well. You know, it's doing well. it's holding on. They're still developing for it. It's not. It's rumors of its death have been greatly exaggerated.
Okay, so now that they're not trying to do anything competitive.
Yeah, they're just they've scaled that back, and they've just got it pumping out. They're still pumping out content for it. They just put Hogger in the game, so it's moving along. It's not going to be a world beater, but from what I hear of the community, they're enjoying the game. It's in some of the best places it's been.
Well, good for them. And I know they're starting to move away from StarCraft at this point. So, but yeah, I mean that's what Blizzard wants. But also moving to our last topic here, it'll be short. But you need to know. You need to know the truth. So a TikTok user, I think her name is Adorable Maya, or it might be Mia, sorry. They recorded multiple Walmart staffers attempting to purchase all of the store stock of PS5 consoles before the customers had a chance to. And she posted the video to her TikTok. And people were pissed. So I think you have to watch her TikTok, which she also posted, I think it was her, somebody posted a video on Twitter of the same situation, but before they were let into the store. So before they were let into the store, I guess somebody found out that Walmart was going to have PS4s, right? So a line forms outside of Walmart, like 1 o'clock in the morning. Manager comes out and says, there's only four PS4s. So if you're not one of the first four people online, you're not going to get one, you know? Then they get into the store, and as they're going to the area where the PS5s are, so they see four Walmart employees trying to ring themselves up and buying the PS5s, and they put them on Front Street, essentially. Like, the PS5s are sitting there on the table, and let's be real, you don't bring hot items out like that and just leave them out. You don't leave them out. Like, you only go to get them when somebody is going to purchase them. They get escorted to the register, you know? I mean, I told my story about how I got a PS4 on this show before, and that PS4 was definitely in the back. It was not in the area where I could just grab one. So the four employees were trying to ring themselves up. I'm assuming they were ringing each other up, you know, and they got busted. But, like, yeah, the proof, the evidence was still out there. Like, you could just see the PS5s just sitting out there. All disc versions, too. No discless. And, yeah, that people were pissed. Like, yo, we came here to buy the PS5s. And, yeah, she ended up getting one. So, basically, what ended up happening, only two people were able to buy PS5s. And the manager let the other, like, two employees buy PS5s. So, I don't think that's against store policy, but I'm sure Walmart corporate will not be happy with that. You know, because a lot of retail stores like, nope, that was supposed to be for the customer, you know. But yeah, that would I could just see that happening a lot. I mean, let's be real, even in our Discord we have some people who have let people know, like, hey, we're gonna have XYZ at our store at this day, you know. It is what it is. So you can't tell me that some enterprising employees from Walmart, Best Buy, Target, are not buying some of the stuff and maybe getting it for themselves, but maybe also putting it on eBay and, you know, things like that. I've been trying to catch up on South Park, so I can play Fractured Butthole, but I just got done with one of the episodes, I think a week ago, where Randy Marsh, he gets hired at a mall for Black Friday so that he could be in the mall when Black Friday like starts, so he could be at the front of the line to get the deals. And, you know, there are employees, you know, a lot of these places ramp up on seasonal employees. I don't know if they've done so much this year, but they do ramp up on seasonal employees. And I can just totally see, because seasonal employees usually get discounts right away. The employee discount right away. I can see seasonal employees definitely taking advantage of that. So, but yeah. And actually, some of the comments on Twitter too crack me up, because you'll see somebody hop into kind of like, oh, look at these grown adults fighting over this, over these games. I'm like, man, get the fuck out of here. Like, like, who do you think have the PS5s now? The elite. That's who. Funny thing, I've only seen a few people like kind of flaunt that they got their Series X, but they're also having issues with supply as well. So, but yeah, all eyes are on the PS5 for now. But yeah, it's just that sucks. So that, you know, these people got caught, and still two of them were able to buy. Two of them were able to buy still. And yeah, you know, that's happening kind of all over the place. Yeah, so yeah, we'll end on that note. on a low note for the show. Maybe next week. Actually, I don't know, are we recording next week? Because we have to
talk about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I would. No, I keep referencing next week. We may actually end up taking a break next week, folks, because it will be Christmas Eve
and the week after then too.
Well, fuck.
Maybe we'll find some time to record in that.
Holidays. We're talking about it now live on the show, because this is definitely going to make it through. we're prepared. So I think we can, okay, let's say if we don't do the 24th and we don't record on 24th for the 25th, we can record earlier in the week and maybe even Wednesday, the 29th.
Oh, the 29th? Yeah,
the 30th. The 29th or the 30th?
Yeah, that'll work.
And we'll release for Friday the 1st, because that is the 1st, right? So
that is the 1st. That is correct.
Yeah. So we'll do that. So you guys heard it first here, right here on the Master Button Show. No show for Christmas. I do believe Clan of Three will have a Christmas special, though. So you might want to check that out. That should actually be pretty cool. There'll be plenty of content coming out next week. Actually, I think all of our shows should be releasing some content. There won't be a new Dropping Spicy, but there will be a new Ready Room. So there will be Apex content next week. There's also going to be a new Night City Stories. Like I said, if you can't play Cyberpunk, listen to me play Cyberpunk. You know? this week coming up, we're actually going to start diving into the stories and the jobs. So we're going to actually get into the show that we planned proper. But we do have two episodes out right now, and one's just kind of like an introductory episode, and another is our impressions. And, you know, we do dig into the issues with launch week there as well. So definitely check it out. So officially, we definitely have a new Clan of Three next week. It's actually going to be the episode for the last episode of The Mandalorian this season. A new Ready Room, a new Warcraft Reloaded, a new Night City Stories. We're going to have a new Double Tap and a new WoW Talk. So, yeah, we're going to have all that new stuff next week. But, you know, I'd like to thank you guys for listening. And, Nick, why don't you tell them where they can find you on social media?
I am at WookieBH on Twitter. You can also find me here on the Mash Those Buttons Network on Clan of Three doing the recap for the final Mandalorian. You'll also find me on WoW Talk this week. We will have Cognitive Pit from Warcraft Reloaded on to talk about Shadowlands. And also on the Torn and the Goblin, last week we had Edinar on talking about Bastion. Next week it's our best of 20 or what we wish for 2021, which I'm looking forward to. Those are always fun episodes, so check those out.
All right, and you can follow me on Twitter at Josh Stradamus, as well as on our Twitch at twitch.tv/mashedthebuttons. I do stream those. Stream there pretty frequently. One thing, I'm terrible at announcements. We need a fucking communications person, because we're going to have a holiday stream where a bunch of us are going to hop on to the stream. We're going to play some Among Us. We're going to play some Jackbox, you know, and we're going to have a good old time. That's at the time slot we normally play GTFO. So that's Friday at 9 p.m. Eastern. All right. And yeah, so definitely join us there. Like I mentioned earlier, we'll love to have you join our Discord, mash.gg/discord. And, you know, I encourage you guys to reach out to us with your comments and questions at contact@mash.gg, or you can just reach out via Twitter or the Discord, you know, however you see fit. If you enjoy the show and you want to help us out, one of the best ways to do so is to share the show with others and rate and review the show on your podcast platform of choice. And, if you want to take your support a bit further, you can join us on Patreon at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons. And you can help support us you know, Mash Those Buttons with tiers starting at $1 a month and gain early access to content as well as exclusive content. We also have a Teespring store, which is teespring.com/mashthosebuttons. And you can throw us a Twitch sub if you prefer to do that. And I'd like to encourage you guys to stay tuned after the show to hear more about Mash Those Buttons. And with that, we are done for the day. Thank you guys very much. We'll catch you next week. No, we won't catch you next week. We'll catch you in 2 weeks. Later.
Stay safe. Merry Christmas.
Thanks for listening to a Mash Those Buttons production. If you enjoyed the show, you should check out mashthosebuttons.com and see if any of our other shows might interest you. All of our shows are available on your podcast platform of choice like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and more. If you enjoy our content, you can help support Mash Those Buttons by becoming a patron at patreon.com/mashthosebuttons, where you can receive Patreon bonuses for as little as $1 a month. You can connect with Mash Those Buttons at twitter.com/themashnetwork, facebook.com/mashthosebuttons, or join our Discord at mash.gg/discord.